Hallelujah. Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. And again, it's good to have Karen here, huh? She's poor thing. That Ebola stuff was tough, wasn't it? Well, I better not say that. I'm not going to say it. I'm already crying, so I'm not going to say it. All right, Matthew chapter 18. And we're just going to look at verse 4. And this is Jesus speaking. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now we're going to go over a couple of scriptures that that bear this thing of humbling yourself. This one just happens to mention as a little child, but that's not really his point fully, because he uses this without the teaching of little children and things like that. And so just let me write this on the board. Humble equals greatest. If you humble yourself, you'll be the greatest. That's Jesus' way. And again, we're going to go through bunches of scriptures here that bear that is not just a Jesus teaching when he was here. The disciples taught that, and other people who were writers in the New Testament. And it is this it is this reality of finding greatness with the Lord. Now, I don't believe the greatness here necessarily means that if you humble yourself, you know, miraculously in this presidential campaign, you're going to become president. I'm looking around and going, thank God. You know, but that's not going to happen. That's not what it's about. It's not worldly greatness. It is greatness with the Lord. It is greatness with the Lord. It is because the world isn't going to even understand his version of greatness, which is, you know, to be humble, not be self-exalting, you know. And there's many different ways to be self-exalting. And that is Jesus' version of, and we'll see that in Scripture, Jesus' version of not being humble is to be self-exalting. Whosoever exalteth himself. And so there are a lot of different versions of self-exaltation. There are there are ways to look humble in somebody, but compare yourself with someone. I'm thinking of the Pharisee and the other guy that went down to pray, and the Pharisee, you know, was going, you know, I thank God I'm not like that person, you know, and we can say, you know, I'm humble, unlike, you know, somebody else here, you know, unlike Lindsay, for example. You know, the Lord told me to give Mike Wallace a break. After this many years, the man needs a break, you know. In fact, the Lord showed me his prayer in a video. He said, Lord, could you make Randy give me a break? I don't exalt myself, but there are those who do. That would be a phrase. I don't know that you. I don't believe you've used that one. Yeah, it's slightly different, you know. I don't exalt myself much, but there are those who do, is the way you said it. But you know, there's this, or you can say, "Well, I trust in the Lord," and you know, that's implying that the other person doesn't, and therefore you're exalting yourself. I mean, there are so many ways. and means to do it. there's a joke that I tell that I was standing around with Teague and Matt in Washington, and I would have swore Teague had heard this before, but he hadn't. But anyway, there was a big banquet, and they were going to give away an award for the most humble person, and so they said, so-and-so, brother so-and-so, you win the award for the most humble. And then, you know, he came up there, and they had to take it away because he accepted it. boy, this Jesus shaves. You're sitting, getting all the way down there. Try my opera voice. All right. So I want to just keep rolling on this. Let's go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and verse 11 and 12. All right. And this is adding a new element to it. It's the same thing, but see, we can read the scriptures and we can find sort of the same thing and just bunch it together and say it's saying what it said over there. But the Lord chose that this scripture also would come out, and this is Matthew 23, verse 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. All right. So you have from the first scripture, to be humble equals to be the greatest. To be the greatest equals to serve. Does that make sense? I mean, according to, it doesn't make sense according to our thinking, but it makes sense according to the wisdom of God and according to the viewpoint of God. So what the Lord is trying to do is he's trying to form Christ in us in a way where we will not be mainly focused on ourselves and what we are, what we can get, or, you know, because he'll take care of that, right? Yeah. Right? He'll take care of that. If we put these things in his hands, he'll take care of them. If we keep them in our hands, then he's going to... We're going to be abased. That's what the scripture said. We're going to be abased. We're going to be put in a position where we need him. Okay? Where we need him. And that's going to start a process rolling. Man, maybe I can make this short today. Yeah. No, I might be able to. So I wrote down here, servant equals humble, equals not exalting, not self-exalting, equals exalted. Okay, should I read it again?
Yes.
Servant. Anybody ready for the next one?
Yes.
Equals humble, right? Servant equals humble. Humble equals not self-exalting, right? Not self-exalting equals exalted, because you humbled yourself. Isn't that an interesting path to the very thing that a person would do to exalt themselves? Except for they're taking the short path, you know. And so if we don't see not only this pattern, but if we don't see the Lord and we don't see his spirit, and we don't see his nature, and we don't see that the truth of this path ultimately has to be Christ, but it's not all him, there is a process. And that's what I want to talk about today, is a little bit of this process that will bring us to a place where this can be real, because humble, for the most part, is not real in most of us. You know, it's a humble so that I look humble, you know, or it's a humble so that somebody recognizes that I'm humble. Which, again, we're going to have to take the award away because you really weren't. or there's always mixture in us. Do you agree with that? But do you agree with this, that there's not mixture in Christ? Thank God. Thank God. And so he's our hope. Christ in you is our hope, not just Christ in heaven to do certain things and to affect us in a certain way. All right, James continues this. Book of James, chapter 4. I like how when the disciples, the naming of the disciples, it would say Peter, James, and John in the Gospels, but in the epistles it's James, Peter, and John. James 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Okay? You're doing this in the sight of the Lord. You're not just putting your life on cruise control where, well, this is the way I'm supposed to act, or this is what is expected, or this is the teaching, or even if we don't do it like this is the teaching, we say this is the word of God. We're really fitting into a society, whether Christian or church or whatever, we're fitting into a society where those things are taught and expected and da-da-da-da. And we do that in different countries and different cultures. That's why we call them different cultures. You get there, you move down there, say Mexico or anywhere else, and they have a completely way of doing things that's different from ours. I mean, when Deb and I was in my early 20s, she was 20, we became missionaries in Jamaica, and it was another world. And they had built into their way of talking excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses. They had built into their way excuses, and it was like this: if we had an orphanage, and there were some of my favorite kids. One of them was a girl named Merlene. I think she was about 10 or something like that. And she was just wild. And, you know, I remember sitting at when we first got there, we were newlyweds, brand new newlyweds. And when we ate, they had different tables for all the different orphans and stuff. And they had to have an adult at each table. And so Deb sat over there at that table. And I was over here at this table. And we'd go, hi. You know, I know you're here. And our schedule was such that we didn't see each other very much. But she had a little girl that sat in her table, at her table, that was very proper and very well kept and pretty. Her skin was lighter and everything. And and I had sitting at my table this girl named Merlene, and she was dark skinned, and she was always in trouble, and she was just. Hell on wheels. And one day Deb said, well, didn't have any kids at that time. Well, if you could have a girl, which one would you pick? And I said, which one would you pick? And she pointed to the little immaculate, little sweet girl. She said, which one would you pick? And I said, I'd pick Merlene. And she's going, may we not have girls. But Merlene, she was always getting in trouble and stuff like that. And one time she was clearing the table or something, and she had a glass and she dropped it and it shattered all over the place. And I said, I turned around and said, Merlene, did you drop that? She said, no, it dropped. And they actually used that language. It dropped. I did. There's no responsibility. It dropped. Really? And even in Spanish, it can say it dropped itself. But I didn't want to say that. But I did. So it dropped itself. And removing responsibility, which, by the way, when you go to a foreign country and you're preaching and you're saying, you dropped it, it can be offensive. You know what I mean? I mean, it can actually, depending on how you put that, it can be offensive because their culture is different and their way is different and everything else is different. Well, let me tell you, the Lord's culture is different than ours, and it's different than being an American. One of the things that we saw when we got to Jamaica was that here we are. We're trying to teach everyone to eat with a knife and a fork and a spoon. You know what I mean? We're going to teach you right. And we're going to teach you how to do your hair. We're going to teach you how to do this and that. And every bit of it was not Jesus. It's teaching them to be an American. Does that make sense? And when we first got there, me and Augie, a friend of mine, that we went to the mission field together, he and his wife and children, and me and Deb, and he was a great mechanic and really good at a lot of stuff. And they would sell these little, I don't know what they call them nowadays, but they, well, I know what they called them, but freezer pops. Freezer pops. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you know, in a little plastic thing. Okay. And you cut off the top and squeeze it up. Anyway, so they said, well, we want to sell these because we didn't have many ways of making money there. We want to sell these. And so the director said, Randy, you and Augie go build a little Kisco shed, freezer pop shed, and we're going to sell it out of that. So me and Augie, we go over and we start cutting down branches and stuff, and we make a post, and we dig down that post and everything like this, and we do all of this work and nails and screws and all this kind of stuff and everything. So when we get done, we said to, when we almost got done, a Jamaican guy who we were new there come walking by, and he goes, what you doing, man? I said, well, we're making a Kisco shed. And he says, this is your Kisco shed, man. And so he just leans over like this and goes, he goes, this is no Kisco shed, man. And he said, let me do it, you know, and we're going, well, the director told us, no, man, you can't do it, you know, I'll do it, all right? And so he starts taking it apart, and he digs up the posts and the holes, and he's got a machete. That's all he's got. He's got a machete, and he goes, no posts in the ground or anything. He says, there you go, man. You go, thanks, you know, and he walks off. And so we go over and we go, well, we'll show this guy. That thing didn't move at all, not any. And it's not in the ground, and there's no screws or nails or stuff. And this was our first introduction to Jamaica and the mission field, and we're going, maybe we don't know everything. And it was good for us. It was good for us to realize that we don't know everything, and the Lord's still trying to teach me that. You know? And you too, because we unknowingly, isn't it funny, we know everything but this, that we don't know everything. So unknowingly, we are trying to teach everyone else and show everyone else and what have you. Well, the Lord, I mean, I've often thought, we always talk about, okay, we're going to go to heaven, and when we get into heaven, it's just going to be so wonderful and everything. And I often think, you know, if we go into heaven, quote unquote, if we go in there like we are, and God being the way he is, it's going to be hell. You know what I mean? Because there's going to be a lot of pride. There's going to be all this stuff. Everybody's going to be thinking earth ways and stuff like that instead of his ways. And he said, my ways are not your ways. What are you people doing up here? There is, and Jesus taught and the disciples taught, and there's a Bible and everything. And this isn't just supposed to be good teaching. Most of this stuff, I mean, think about Jesus' teaching. You know, Jesus didn't go around and say, look, you know, he didn't say all this horrible stuff that we mark as the worst kind of stuff. He said, you know, love your neighbor. You know, he didn't say, you know, love your neighbor, but, you know, if he really does you wrong, kill him. You know, all the things that we, you know, we think that are the worst, he's saying to not humble yourself is to self-exalt. Okay? So the thought is then, if I'm one who won't humble myself or live as humble, if I don't do that, then I'm a self-exalter and the Lord is going to be upset with my action? No, it's not your actions. It's what's producing your actions. You are self-exalting, and therefore you will self-exalt. Okay? And look at our society. Look at everything in our society, man. Look at the TV. Look at all this stuff. Everything is about being better. Everything is about showing other people, you know, off and stuff like that. I mean, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to refer to this, and I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but the Super Bowl, if Carolina had a won, you would have not heard the end of self-exaltation. Don't kill me. But that's not what you heard from the other team. At least that's not what you heard from all of them except one. But the point being that can we carry ourselves in the culture of Christ based on his nature? Can we do that down here? And that was the whole point. Jesus came down here and everything, every thought, every person, every motive that was around him, everything, every action from those motives, everything around him was wrong and off from what he was. And he didn't walk around going, You know what I mean? He wasn't always as, I can't stand you people. Because he had a plan. And that plan was the cross, where he would deal with it. But he would do more than deal with it. You know, he would impart something that's different than us. His spirit. And his way through his spirit. All right. So, where are we at? Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If we live in the sight of the Lord, that's one thing. If we live for God on cruise control, that's a completely different thing. You agree with that?
Amen.
It really is. I mean, I'm telling you, because one is we really don't think about him very much at all. We're too busy serving him. We're too busy. You know, Jesus said, I must be about his business, but he's thinking about him. You know what I mean? He's thinking about the Father. I must be about my Father's business. We go, well, you know, I'm about my Father's business. So when was the last time you really talked with him? I don't mean prayed. Do you understand the difference? We can pray for our meals. We say, well, I pray all the time. Oh, Lord, bless this food and everything else. But are we, you know, thank you for this food. Are we really saying thank you? I mean, I'm thankful. I remember JW once time when he and I were sitting somewhere and he said, we were going out to eat and stuff. And I said, well, do you want me to pray? And he goes, do you do that religious stuff? Which it could be, right? Yeah. Right? It could be just religious stuff. And I said, you know, I was raised in an orphanage. And we didn't get what we wanted. We didn't, you know, it was what people donated and stuff like that. And I'm really thankful. So can I pray? Because I really was thankful. I just wanted to thank the Lord for what we were going to eat. And there's so many prayers and things that we can pray that it's like these are going up to heaven. But they're not. We're not talking to the Lord, and we're not really with the Lord. We're not doing it in the sight of the Lord. We're just doing it in the sight of people, for the most part. And all of this has to do with a complete different change. We have to change from our religious ways to finding the Lord in new ways. And we all have the Lord, and he's precious to us. But to finding the Lord in new ways. And so, you know, it's interesting, the next verse, part A of verse 11, speak not evil of of another brethren. This is, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and you shall lift you up. Speak not evil of another brethren. Isn't that interesting? Humble yourself means not to exalt yourself over someone else by speaking, I'll put that as a believer, speaking evil of them, because that's not the spirit that he's asking for. See, our version of humble and his version can be completely different. Right? We say, well, when I come into church, I act very, what's up with that? You know, were you just speaking evil of somebody? You see, and sometimes we don't connect chapters in the Bible. Sometimes we don't connect the next verse. This is what he's talking about. He's giving us an example that will, as it were, shine on not just what we're thinking or doing, but shine and give us a contrast of where we are at right now as opposed to who Jesus is. And I'll say it like this, or the culture of Jesus, based on the nature of Jesus. We don't do it in the sight of the Lord. We don't hear it in the same way that he says when he says, humble yourself, don't speak evil of one another, brethren. See, he's talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to the family. All right, 1 Peter 5, 6. First Peter 5, 6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Okay, humble yourself. This is a little different. One is doing it in the sight of God, but there's another relationship to the Lord. Sometimes the Lord is, you know, as it were, you can put it like this. You can say God in heaven is looking to you to relate to him when we know Christ in you. But I'm just using this as an example in the sight of the Lord. The other one is God's hand is on you and it's sort of bringing you down. It's crushing you. Under the mighty, you know what I mean? I think maybe we always see that in light of humble yourself under the mighty anointed hand that is upon you, the old child of mine. I think it's more like, yes, Lord, you know, or no, I'm not ready to be humbled. No, maybe, you know. And we've all experienced that, haven't we? We have. But that's kind of a different relationship. And what it's doing is, this one is bringing you in. It's the starting of bringing you in to the difference between the weakness that is ours and the weakness of God. Okay, so I'm going to just take the time. Slip on me while I'm doing this thing, slowly going in more and more. So that chart says weakness, ours and his, and both are needed at the right time. Okay, so what if we get this confused? What if we don't really understand the difference? Then we say, every time it says weakness, or every time it says brokenness, or every time it says something like that, we apply that to us and to our weakness, and we go, you know, oh Lord, I am everything that you want right now because you move, your power is weakness. Well, his power is not weak flesh. His power is the weakness of the lamb. Just think about it. Two different things. And if we get them confused, then we just read the same thing in the scriptures every time, including we could see the scriptures as only weakness, his weakness, and therefore never enter into his weakness through our weakness, because we don't see the difference between the two. All right, so this scripture that we just read is starting to talk about our weakness. It is, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in that mighty hand, it is trying to bring us to weakness. Right? Under the mighty hand. Humble. What are the words? Humble yourself. See, this isn't let the humility of Christ come out of you. Right? This is humble yourself. And God is saying, humble yourself while his hand is on you. Does that make sense? Okay, I mean, because some of you are looking at me like, well, are you sure that's right? I mean, that's all it's saying. Yeah. You know? So we have to see this difference, and in a minute we'll get into some scriptures that'll show this difference. That we have to begin to comprehend this difference, or we're going to be switching them up, and we're going to be thinking that this is only about God bringing me to weakness, and then when he brings me to weakness, we're going to go, you know, woo, he got everything he wants. I'm weak now. Kind of quiet in here. Still glad I'm back from Washington. And I fear that there has been some misunderstanding. And with that misunderstanding, we're looking for God. We're looking for God's mighty hand to be on us in such a way that we become the weakness that he wants. And that's only the beginning, and does not even really count as that ultimately, but is necessary to it. And I'll explain that in scriptures here in a minute. So, but right now, I just want you to ponder that. I want you to ponder the difference between thinking that it's all about my weakness, not my strength, as opposed to his weakness, and therefore strength comes out of that. Okay? Because if we leave here without seeing the difference of this, because I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. I'm sick of preaching deep stuff. All I want to do is say simple, stupid stuff. And there's a reason why that. I bet this is cold. Yeah, he's got his full beard back. I wonder what they think when I say stuff like that when they're just listening to the audio. You know what I mean? His full beard back. What does that mean? You know, it's like, what? This guy says weird stuff. All right, let's go to Matthew 13. You say, we were just over in Matthew. Why didn't you tell me to? Because your Bibles need to have a little use on it. Right? All right, so we're talking about that when it's our weakness, he's trying to bring us to a certain level of weakness. All right? I want you to register that. He brings us to weakness. But that's not the weakness ultimately that he wants out of us. He brings us to a place where we say, I can't do it, or I'm too weak, or I'm too messed up. All of these things coming from a place of weakness. Amen? Yeah. I mean, if you're really going through, anybody ever gone through something so bad and you just go, I'm a failure. I am just, what? I can't do anything for the Lord. I'm just, da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? If it's in the right, if the hand's heavy enough on you, then you're in the right place, because then you're open to something different. But a lot of times in our weakness, we're open to his strength, not knowing this little thing right here. Humility brings greatness. Greatness brings service. Did you get what I said? That's pretty amazing. Because our concepts could be wrong in these things. And we're just going, well, okay, I'll just be weak in my weakness. Yes, Lord. It needs to be a kind of that. You know, and of course he understands all languages, so whatever that one was. And we're thinking, okay, in my weakness now, he's gonna make me da da da. Da, 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 da. Yes, I was humble enough for him to take the bait. You know, I fooled God, you know, or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. The point being is that there is this mentality in us that thinks that's what he's after. But if the weakness brings us to his weakness, then that weak, I almost could describe it like this. Maybe I hope this is going to work out. Our weakness is like, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. His weakness is to serve one another. His weakness in us. His weakness at work in us is here. Our weakness is over here, trying to get us from humility to greatness, which is service. Which is, by love, serve one another. And you know, and I know, but I'm using simple language that is not service. It's the Lamb of God. But if we keep calling it just the Lamb of God with our own concepts, we're never going to get to that spirit. There has to be a confrontation with our concepts. Still with me? Okay. So what we're trying to separate out and to see the difference here relates to our weakness and God's work on us, and his weakness, God's work in and through us. Okay? All right. Good. In our weakness, it's still us, just in a weakened state. In his weakness, it's just him. It's not us at all. Okay? All right. So, Matthew chapter 13. How long have I been going? I don't even know. 38 minutes. All right. So then we're going to... most of you know this. Matthew 13, beginning of verse 1 and all the way down, is the parable of the sower, right? And there were different kinds of ground. Some seed fell here. Some seed fell there. Some seed fell over here. Some seed fell over here. Jesus describes it later, and he says, the seed is the word. Word. The seed is the word. The seed is the word. So let's just make this a big seed. And it's falling in different ground. Okay? And that's his point. The difference isn't the word. The difference is the kind of ground we are. Right? It's an issue of us. Yes. It's not an issue of him or this or that or whatever. It's an issue of what kind of ground. Are you beside the wayside? Do you have roots and stuff in you that never got dug out? Do you all these different aspects is trying to bring out. Okay? But it mentions in verse 8 here, but other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. All right, so how many of you have ears? Show me your ears. It's not these. It's not these. It's spiritual ears. You know, Malchus only has one. Anyway, so he's... This is important to Jesus because he's going, look, you know, I've given you a really good parable. You know, I put it as simple as possible. If you got ears to hear, then hear it. And then later it says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Okay? Always, always, always There is a hearing that doesn't hear it, and there is a hearing that hears it. All right. So, the kind of ground makes a difference. So, what is good ground? Okay. What soft and what else? Broken. Anybody else? It receives the seed. What a statement. What a glorious statement. I wish I'd have thought of it. It is. It's right here, too. It receives the seed. So let's say that there's a difference between the ground. So let's just say the ground. I don't know how this is going to come out either. But the ground relates to us. And that ground has to be broken. I should have had these reversed so you can see. So that his weakness, or however you want to view it, can get into us. But there has to be broken ground, or this will never get into us. So there has to be weakness, broken ground, our weakness. You following? Broken ground is our weakness. I mean, if we're going to dig a garden on the property right here, and you go out there and you start digging, and it's hard ground, and you just go, well, let's just throw seeds on top. Well, this parable deals with that, you know. And we go, well, just our garden didn't do really well, right? We go, we come back, I don't know why. I had the right seed. It was the word of God. Anybody following this? I had the right seeds, the word of God. I threw it down there. But see, but here's another teaching, okay? Here's another teaching. We need to be broken, speaking about our weakness. We need to be broken. You need brokenness. You're too hard. You're too, you're not open enough to the Lord, whatever. And I've been in places that they teach brokenness, and that's it. So that would be like me saying, well, I'm a farmer, and I'm going to go out here, and I just break up the ground, and I break it up, and I go, well, there it is. Look, there's worms, and there's grub worms, and it's broken, and look, it's soft, and got all the roots out, and I did all this stuff, and there it is. I'm happy. You know, and the ground's going, me too, I'm broken. That's what you preached, didn't you, Farmer Randy? Farmer Randy? Brokenness? I'm so broke. And I'm weak and broken. Yes, hallelujah. I can't even lift my hand, I'm so broken. You know, that's not it. The seed is it, isn't it? But the difference of the ground Jesus is talking about here. What is the difference? And one is good ground, and it's come to weakness in relationship to itself. It's become broken so that, because weakness in itself, our weakness in itself is not enough. It's become broken so that what? The seed can get into it. And it'll bring forth its version of brokenness, which is when we humble, that's greatness. And then when that greatness is in us, that greatness is Christ, and he'll manifest his weakness. Can you see that? Did you have a question or a thought? Okay, because I'm open right now. I'm going to be open. You can interrupt me anytime you want to. Because I just feel like this is so, I know some of you are going, well, this is so simple. But what if within many of us there was a misunderstanding about which weakness it was, and then we're always trying to get just broken, you know? And let's top that off. And we're always trying to get broken so that we can get strength and greatness. Right? Yes, I want the overcoming
nature of the Lamb. Well, how does the Lamb overcome? They overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony. What? What? That's victory in the book of Revelation? I thought we're supposed to be devil-stomping, Bible-thumping believers. Huh? Thought we're supposed to, you know. Well, we are, but we overcome through the Lamb. We overcome through, and look at that. We overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Well, that's just talking about a dead one. I mean, if you just take the first phrase, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. See, we would go, I overcome by the Lamb that was slain and got up and kicked some devil butt. Excuse my... Do we have any French here? No. Excuse my French. That's how, you know, that's it. That's how we think. That's how we think. And so we miss his version of humility. We miss his version of greatness. And we miss his version of to serve, which is his nature. His version of to be a servant is him. And it's him bowing down still. You know, and the example I gave, you know, we go, okay, Jesus defeated all enemies and now he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And from now on throughout all eternity, he's going to be the big kahuna forever and ever. Well, isn't it funny that from the moment he died, the relationship that we have with the ministry of Jesus in heaven right now, let's just put it like that. What is the ministry of Jesus in heaven? I mean, before, remember, he did all this other stuff. What's the ministry of Jesus? If you know, without saying it, raise your hand. You don't know. You people don't know what the ministry of Jesus is right now. I mean, didn't he? Okay, let's look at him. let's look at him on the earth. What was his ministry? Well, he healed, he did this and that and that and that. But his ministry right now, it says that he sat down and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Okay? So what does that mean? It means we come to King of Kings and Lord of Lords and we go, fix this for me and do this for me. And that. He's still serving. He's still self-giving. He's not sitting up there going, hey, it's time you serve me. It's time you love me. It's time that you show something for me. He never mentions that kind of stuff. He's not all about himself, because that would deny everything he ever taught. You say, well, that was just a short little time. Right now, he spends almost all of his time taking care of our needs. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords still getting low and saying, I serve you. I serve you. Is that right or not? I serve you. Okay, so I'm just trying to throw a bunch of stuff out here, because if we don't see that, all this regular stuff that's in the scripture, we're not going to get. We're not going to get it. We won't. We'll never get it, because we've got this mixture and this crossovers of stuff, and it's like these roots are tangled up with these roots and all this kind of stuff, and we go, well, but I'm deep, you know, I know stuff, I know deep stuff, you know, and so I'm okay, right, I'm in a box, so I'm okay. And it's like, okay, well, how about, you know, the parable of the sower, do you know that one? Well, of course I know that. I've read that many times, and every time I read it, I'm good ground. You know, okay. Humble yourself. Quit speaking evil of your brother. You're not broken enough. Are you good ground in light of what he says? I mean, that's, we evaluate ourselves. And if we can't evaluate ourselves in light of great teaching and doctrine, then just read the scriptures. Just read it. Humble yourself. To him you'll be the greatest. Oh, that owes more. I'm sure we didn't get that on here, because I was talking into the chalkboard. And it was really good for those who are listening to this. All right, let's go to Jeremiah.
We're just going to read the whole book of Jeremiah. Not really. Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah 4:3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. All right. Break up your fallow ground is your weakness, your brokenness. Okay? And he says, humble yourself, but he says, under the mighty hand of God, because God is working to bring your ground to brokenness because he wants his son to spring forth. Right? Okay, so he's working. The mighty hand is there. Do what you do in the sight of the Lord. Humbling in relationship. I'm with you on this. I want this for the greater purpose that you have in your heart. So there is that. Break up. But don't at the same time break up your fallow ground and sow among thorns that are going to drop in and the seeds are going to come up of other junk. Don't get soft. Don't get humble. And then speak evil of your brother. Then that's just one, you know, this is just one little thing there. Just one that I happen to just notice following. Be humble. Don't speak evil. Immediately. So, well, speaking evil is thorns. It's thorns. So that's not humbling yourself. Say, I'm very broken. I am. But Sister So-and-so is really the Antichrist. Yeah. You're not broken. You're breaking. You're breaking other people. You're not broken. You're sowing among thorns. You know? Say, well, I'm waiting for God to bring forth his weakness and therefore his strength, and which manifests through that weakness. I'm waiting. Why won't you do anything? Anybody ever done that with the Lord before? I'm waiting, you know? And it's like a chess game. He goes, it's your move. That's why we're, you know. I don't make two moves at a time. I made the last one. What? It's been 3 years. I'm still waiting on your move. You know? And that's why chess games can go so long. Because we're waiting on someone else to make a move. So, in this situation, we might be waiting on his brokenness, his weakness. Do you understand what I'm saying? We might be waiting on that. I want that. I seek that. I desire that with all my being. I want that. So do it, Lord. You know, like all that's going to make, you know, make a difference ultimately if we're not doing our part to humble yourself. Humble yourself. Break up your fallow ground. Don't do it among thorns. Speak not evil. Just shoot me now, Lord. It's not that difficult. But if we get it out of order, it's extremely difficult. Can you see how this could be extremely difficult for somebody? Really fumbling around trying to get certain things to happen, and they've just got certain, maybe they don't know about one part of this, or they don't know who moves first, or they don't know, but all of it starts with humble yourself, break up your fallow ground, don't or stop sowing among thorns, that kind of stuff. Okay, so what does that do? That's the equivalent of a farmer going out there and breaking up really hard ground, okay? That's the equivalent of that. And then it's ready for the seed. That's good ground. Good ground is ground that's ready for the seed. Okay? But if we're throwing the Word of God on top of that, and we've already said this, if we're throwing it on the top of that going, I'm sowing good seed, I'm doing the right thing and everything, and I'm doing this to bring forth brokenness, We're looking in the wrong direction. All right, John 12:24. All right, John 12, let's start at verse 20. How much time have I got left? 2 minutes? 4 minutes. Enough time to read the scripture. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. So this is people that want to see Jesus. This is people that want Jesus. They're going out of their way, and they're inquiring as best as they know how. They want to see Jesus, okay? Verse 22, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Okay, so Jesus' response to people that are seeking Jesus is, got to fall into the ground. Now we're talking about his and him, okay? But it is a process where we have to move from us to him here. And he'll show it in just a second, but he's presenting to us his process, and then he's going to present to us his process in us that will bring us into his process. And I know we can listen to this later, but it's not that complicated. He starts with himself. I must fall into the ground and die, or there's no fruit. Okay? So then, verse 25. He that loveth his life, now he's not talking about him anymore. Right? He's saying, well, that's good for you, Jesus. Die for us, would you? You know, go through your weakness, show it, bring us to greatness. Oh, wait a minute. Do we understand what greatness is? He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Okay, so his life, he that hateth his life. See, we go, I hate my life in this world, but do you hate your life? No, just the world. You see how we can, yeah. We're a mess. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Okay, so here we go. I serve Jesus, I'm a servant. Okay, but have you humbled yourself? Yes. Have you recognized that that's greatness and that greatness serves? Well, I serve Jesus, but do you serve by this process? If any man serve me, let him follow me. Well, follow him where? We read that and we go, oh, he means follow him to Galilee or follow him to Jerusalem. He's talking about to be a dying seed. It's all one. It's probably just a couple of sentences here. It would be like if I said, and we're going to go down, we're all going to go to the mall together, so hop in your car and everything and, you know, and follow me, and then you get in the car, and then you go, well, I assume he's going to his house and go off there. It's just taking a road that is not, he's telling what the road is right here. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Here we go, honor. Where's honor coming from? Where's honor coming from? It's coming from a dying seed. Humble, dying seed, greatness that results in his spirit serving one another. Now, and then he says this, now is my soul troubled. God, I thought if I really had the Lord in a special way, I wouldn't have soul trouble. No, your soul wants its own way. It's like, you know, what did I do with this? Let me use a different color. Okay, so we're spirit, soul, and body. And each one of them says, you know, something different at different times. Your spirit says, I want Jesus. Your soul says, I want people to like me. Your body says, I need a cigarette or whatever. I'm just using that as an example, because anyone that smoked knows your body can go, I want a cigarette now. You can be sitting in the middle of church service and your body can go, I want a cigarette now. You go, we're in church. Now I said, now. Look, here's your spirit. I'm trying to see Jesus. I'm trying to be with Jesus right now. I want one now. I want an Oompa Loompa now. Anyway. So that sends us in all different directions. In this one being, we're going, and sometimes one will rise up and the other one won't. So, okay, here your spirit's going over here right now, and you're going, I'm really with the Lord, you know. And then 2 hours later, your soul's going over here and going, well, I really want this, you know. And then your body's leading you off somewhere else. Jesus is saying, my soul is troubled because it doesn't want to go to the cross. Is that the context or not?
Yes.
But his spirit, as it were, or his nature, as it were, says, but what shall I say then? Father, save me from this hour. This is why I came. See? That's winning the battle.
Yes.
You say, well, yeah, we're warriors for Jesus, and there are bad people. Get your swords ready. You know, get your sword ready for dividing soul from the spirit, seeing things separately based on him instead of just us, you know, my spirit only serving Jesus instead of Christ in me, the hope of glory. My soul, which, by the way, your soul is never crucified. Jesus didn't crucify your soul. You take up the cross and you apply it. Yeah, that's one where it's not finished. It is finished, but it has to be applied. All right. And then verse 32, which is just down a few verses. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. All right. And next verse, this he said, signifying what death he should die. All right. So greatness, we can define greatness as if I be lifted up and if I be exalted, and if I be put on a throne, I will draw the world to me. So, church, when you praise, get into it. I mean, bust a gut. Let veins show up in your neck and stuff. Because when I'm lifted up, I'm going to start drawing people. So we go, yeah! Because that's our definition of, oh, you're great, you're great and you're glorious. We're talking to a lamb, slaughtered lamb on the throne. But anyway, yeah, you're everything and da-da-da-da. And he's going, no, if I be lifted up in relationship to the cross, you preach me according to the cross, I'll draw men to me. You preach anything else, even me, apart from the cross, and you'll end up drawing men to something else. What it says. I'm getting tired. Man. Remember that out of breath thing? I think I'm getting it now. This is the last statement I put here. Not just a dying seed where we are sent, not because you give your life in ministry, but take a lower seat for others. Take a lower seat for others. And then I put, die to save enemies from what they deserve. Whatever enemies you got, would you allow that same Jesus? Here's the wonderful picture. There wasn't just Jesus. Stephen did the same thing. Enemies are killing and stoning him, and he's doing what he knows to do. I got my eyes on Jesus. I often think of, so moved by that. often think of Stephen being stoned, and he's saying, "Father, forgive them." And he's looking up at Jesus, and Jesus is standing. And in all the other places, he's sitting. And it's like he sat because it's finished. But now he's standing. He's going, "I'm going to stand up and welcome you in here, you know, because of your spirit and because the way you're dealing with this." And we go, "Well, if he'd have just done a miracle, if he'd have, you know, as the, you know, again, the bubble thing, a bubble." And then all the rocks hit it, and they go, and then people drop all their rocks, and they go, "Oh, there's a God, and you're of God, and you're so special, you're great, and everything, but not that great." And it's all of this, that, how we would have said that's the way it should have gone. But there's a guy standing there. His name's Saul. And it's not Better Call Saul. It's another guy. And he's standing there, and he is watching all of this. And he's going, "Oh, my God, what is this?" And the Lord begins to seep through the cracks and to get to him and work on him. And when he finally meets Jesus, he falls down. He says, "Who are you?" And Jesus says, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." And he's going, because I get chills, because the one person we know he persecuted was Stephen. He's going, "I see you in him. I saw you. I saw you in someone, not just, I wasn't there at the cross." Paul could have been. He was there at the time. He was, you know, he was around, but he wasn't there. But he was there then when he saw in Stephen, when he remembered, and he's looking at Jesus and he's going, this is one, because Jesus says, "You're persecuting me," but he's talking about his body. You're not, you know. Saul could have said, "I am not persecuting you. I didn't even know you. I didn't know it, you know. That's me. And all those people that you're killing, all those people that you're dragging into prison, and all of that, that's me. Have you noticed anything different about them and their reactions?" Because remember, that's what he's doing. What did it say? Spitting out slaughter and threatening. Just, "This is wrong. That's wrong. Oh, we got to change this." He's just looking. This guy's wrong. "Stone him. I'll hold your garments and give you permission. I'm a Pharisee." He's watching. He's going, "There's something different. Something's going on with these people. Die to save enemies from what they deserve." Instead of going, "They deserve this. Thank you, Jesus," and rejoicing that they're... Father, we just ask you to, in the simplicity of what you give me and the smallness of my ability to share it, I ask you to move and to open our eyes and our hearts and let us see plainly the path and not think that we've got the path because we have one direction and there's turns and twists that are all of you. We have to do all of this in your sight. We can't just put it on cruise control and keep going straight thinking that's what it's all about. We have to stay with you wherever you turn, wherever you go, whithersoever you goeth. We will follow you, O Lamb of God. I ask you, keep your hand upon us for us to humble ourselves so that we become ground where your seed can get in us and we can understand greatness and have definitions from heaven and not from earth, not from America or wherever country we're from. I ask you, Lord, for the good of your people, for the good of your people.
so that they might know you the way their heart longs for, like those Gentiles seeking you. We would see Jesus. They want to, Lord, these folks here and on Skype, and Lord, they really are after you. They really do genuinely with all their heart want you. Help them, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, why don't you just, if you want to make a little place there as an altar, you can do that. If not, please be mindful of others that may be praying. And maybe just take a few minutes before the Lord.